What is the scariest horror movie you've seen?
I think probably maybe not the scariest, but the most unsettling movie I've watched is probably The Babadook.
Why?
Because it's the unsettling thought that if I were to have a child and it could see things and experience weird paranormal things, especially like the Babadook, is just really creepy because I wouldn't be able to do much about it and they'd just be attacking my child. So I just find that pretty unsettling.
I don't really know the scariest, but probably something like The Shining or like anything to do with like demons and like possession or something. It freaks me out.
Why does it freak you out?
Just because, I don't know, there's something about like demons and stuff and like ghosts and stuff. Like you can't see them, you can't touch them, you can't fight, you can't like fist fight them. You know, it's something you can't really fight without priests and stuff.
I think the scariest franchise or like group of movies I've seen are probably the Saw movies, because they contain a lot of uncomfortable scenes of blood and gore. But in terms of creepiness, probably the Conjuring movies, because they're really good at like creating suspense.
Cool. Why do you think the Conjuring movies good? Is it like the demons or?
Oh yeah, like the supernatural. I think I find those kind of movies more interesting, where it's like you don't know what it is kind of like lurking around, and less of like the stabbing and the killing and stuff. But yeah.
Probably Hereditary. It was just such a different kind of horror than what I was used to. It's a film that really messes with your head, but it's not in such a confusing way. It's more of just like I don't know what is going on, but I'm really enjoying it, and I'm also really scared.
I'm big into kind of psychological stuff. There's this one by Jordan Peele, I think, called Get Out. I think it's called. And it's basically about, I won't spoil the ending, but it's kind of a very psychological thing. You think it's going to go one way and it switches to the other. And it's very psychological, which is my preferred style of horror. I think it's just thinking it's going to go one way, thinking the family is going to be no hospitable to him and it's all coincidence, and then it just switches and there's this massive operation being run, and they just turn out to be like the most despicable people. So I think it's kind of betraying trust in a way. You think it's going to go one way, you're willing to trust the characters, and then they just flip it on its head. And I really like that aspect of psychological horror.
I'd say Lights Out, because there's a woman in it called Diana, and like the way they like control like the lighting, just like really is a big impact on the movie and like makes it a lot scarier.
There's a few, but I'd say The Boy is one of them, just because there's like a plot twist at the end and it's just suspense, and it's also kind of about having a mask and you can't see what's behind a mask, so the unseen is scary. And also The Grudge, just because there's a lot of jump scares and like her face is just creepy.
The Conjuring, because I don't know, the scenes just like really creep me out, and I get really, to be honest, when I watched it I was like really young the first time I watched it, like I was like, oh, well, not really young, but I was 11, and then I got really like scared of it, and I just never watched it. I never finished it.
For me, it's The Black Phone, because it's like the main guy, you never really know who he is until like the end, and it's just really weird, especially with his mask. It's like you never know who he is. It's kind of creepy and intense.
Mine is probably Incantation, because there's like loads of like plot twists and stuff, and you never really know like when things are going to happen, and there's like loads of build up as well, and I think it's really good.
Probably The Conjuring 2 just did a really good job at making it scary.
Probably The Conjuring, that one's pretty scary. It just has a lot of scare aspects, the music, the way it looks, pretty scary.
I'd say probably Long Legs. I'd say the appeal about it was it wasn't just cheap jump scares, it was kind of more psychological horror and the hidden meanings in the film.
What's your favourite type of character in a horror movie?
I think my favourite type of character would be the antagonist, like in the Saw movies, specifically in the Saw movies, because I just like Jigsaw, because he's not like evil or paranormal. he's just a normal guy that experienced something in his life and it gave him an awakening to do those things.
Probably like the comic relief, because they're usually the one that's like makes the most sense. They're like, I don't want to be here, and it's like, I agree.
Any like strong female lead, like even if bad or good, I feel like that always, you know, like livens a movie up. Yeah, so like anyone, maybe like a long survivor, someone that kind of like gets through it all, and yeah.
I love the final girl, you know, like in all the Friday the 13th films, there was always that one that really put up a fight. Because it's just cool to see somebody who's actually acting like they're scared for their life and that their life's on the line. Because I get, like, you could be so scared that you don't know what to do, but at least fight back. Like, don't just stand there.
I like one that's very sort of deep, one that's very complex. There's one in the Fargo TV series that I really like called Lorne Malvo. He's just, you think he's just like a normal cutthroat killer, but there's so many layers. He's very crafty. He uses loads of different evidence he's picked up to kind of turn people against one another. He could basically be in a hotel room 1,000 miles away and he'll just watch everything happen. And it's just I love a complex character and I love dissecting it.
I'd say the supernatural or the unseen characters, just because it's a mystery, and the supernatural, you don't know how they act and they're different to a human being. And when you can't see something that's acting strange and being scary, it's even more scarier because you don't know what's going on.
My favorite type of character is probably like the antagonist, because I always like, I find it interesting. I find interesting like why they do what they do. Like I like learning about their motives, and I don't know. I just find it really interesting, especially like the psychological type of thriller or horror movies. I find them really interesting, like the antagonists. In those plots.
Mine's quite similar. I quite like the antagonist and the villain, hearing about their backstory and why they're like this and why they've done all the stuff they've done. And like, it kind of, you kind of get to understand a little bit why they're doing these terrible stuff in the movie, even though it's like, no one would generally do that stuff while you're out.
Mine's probably like the smart characters, I guess, like the protagonists, because like in most films, they don't have that, and like the audience is kind of thinking, oh, they should have done this and that. And then I feel like protagonist, I guess, is like, I know they like know what to do and stuff, and it's like less annoying. So
probably like the stupid one, doesn't really know what's going on, just sits there and just lets it happen. I think this gives a bit of a comedic like part to it.
I'd say personally I quite like, I guess, I don't know if I'd say detective, but sort of a character like in Long Legs or Smile, where it's like they're trying to solve why they're being haunted or what's going on.
Do you like horror movies with a big twist at the end?
Maybe not all the time, depending on the movie, but usually yes, because it just makes you like surprised and even more thrilled about the movie. So it gives you like a different experience to normal horror movies.
Yeah, if it's not something like cliche or something, if it's something that actually like surprises me, then it's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I do think that can be really interesting, especially with like more creepy kind of like mystery ones. Like if you want to, you know, keep that vibe, I think a big twist at the end is like what you need. Yeah,
especially if you like, if it's not predictable, because some of them they can be a bit predictable, like, what, the kid that was bullied is the murderer. But if it's somebody who you like for sure think like, nah, they'd never do anything wrong, and then it is them, then it can be really enjoyable. Yeah, if it's done right.
Yeah, definitely. I like being surprised. I like also going away and thinking about stuff. The best movies I've seen, I'm still thinking about now, you know, analysing what's happened. I definitely like a big twist at the end, yeah.
Definitely. I think it makes the horror film 10 times more interesting because something's just happened which you weren't expecting at all.
It honestly depends on the type of plot twist. Like, if it's like a really dumb plot twist, like, oh, like it was like, it was like all fake, or like it was just like, it was like a really lazy type of plot twist. I find those really boring. But when it's like really interesting plot twists that like explain like the antagonist or stuff like that, or like plot twists that like where the killer comes back and like goes to kill someone. Like, I find those really interesting and I like them. So, yeah.
Yeah, I quite like it when adds a plot twist, especially big ones that you, because you don't expect it a lot of the time. And it kind of like, it can change your perspective to the whole film as well at the end if there's a massive plot twist. So, yeah, I quite like them.
Yeah, I like them as well, especially if it's like a cliffhanger or something, because it like gets me excited to like watch the second movie. So, yeah.
Sometimes it depends, because sometimes it can just feel like, oh, I've just wasted my time. But then sometimes you're like, oh, it like all comes together. So, yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I think if it's a good twist, then yeah, it can make for a good plot. But if it's just kind of like just a stupid cheese pull, then I get, yeah, it's kind of rubbish.
What makes a stalker scary?
Probably that they're unpredictable. If they're stalking you, you don't know what they want to do to you or anyone around you. You have no idea what their goal is.
Not knowing what's going on in their brain. Like, they'll act completely normal 1 second, and I have them do something like completely change.
The fact that like something like stalking, it's not something you can forget easily. Like, once it's happened to you a few times, you start to notice it, and you're always looking around, and like, it's always going to be in the back of your head, even if it's months past. It's something you always come back to if something happens.
From all that I've heard about stalkers, it just seems that they feel like they're not doing anything wrong. Like, they just want to be close to that person, and they don't see how terrifying it is to be in their position, and they have no respect, like, for anybody. They will invade your house. They'll do everything they can to get close to you. Like, they're truly insane. So it's terrifying.
I was thinking about this one the other day. I think it's kind of like the lack of control you have over it. If you're being stalked, you can never escape, like, the powerlessness that has, that they'll never stop. Quite often in real life, the police forces don't act as they should, so it's kind of like they're your only help. You feel like the only people you can turn to, and they might not be taking you seriously. So definitely the powerlessness and the, yeah.
I think just sometimes you're not aware that you're being stalked, and then sometimes you might also think that you're just being paranoid, when in fact you might have a stalker and you're not being paranoid, but you don't want to convince yourself that you do have a stalker. And just the trauma that comes along with it afterwards, even say if you manage to escape your stalker, you'll still always have that thought in the back of your mind, am I being stalked, am I not? And you never know what their plan is. They're not really cooperative. You have to cooperate with them, I guess.
I guess it's just like, it's like, I don't know, I can't explain it. It's like the creepiness of them, like they, how they linger, and like how you don't really know. Like, you don't know who they are, what their motives are, and like, it's just, they just look really, I don't know, they just look really creepy, and like, I don't know, just, yeah, they just, they kind of like, the way they like, like act or just like stay alone, like, it just scares me, so yeah.
Stalkers is kind of scary as well, because like, they seem to know a lot about you, but you don't know much about them because they're unknown, but they seem to know a lot. Like, you don't know where they are, but they might know where you are, so like, it's kind of creepy how they know so much without you actually telling them. They just found this out.
I guess they just kind of like, in most movies, they just like appear out of nowhere, and yeah, you don't really know who they are.
The fact that the person who's being stalked doesn't know, like, what's going on, and the fact they can just appear out of anywhere.
I'd say probably the idea of either the main character not knowing they're there, or knowing they're there but not being able to do anything about it, is probably the scariest part of it.
I'm doing a short horror, and my main two characters are best friends. One is well-behaved, so, you know, A-grade student, and one is troubled, so he has like troubles at home. So how do you imagine a well-behaved person, how do you think they would act around a bad influence?
I think they'd be a bit hesitant when it comes to bad influences, but they'd stay by their side and be loyal and try help them as much as they can.
I feel like they'd probably be hesitant, like, if they'd wanted to do something that was a bit iffy or something, they'd probably be hesitant to do it, but they might go along with it anyway, just because, like, they're best mates, even though they might not want to do it, you know? stuff like that.
I think what like I would picture is maybe someone who's a bit more trying to kind of show her friend like maybe the things she can do without being maybe mischievous and stuff, maybe trying to show her like the things she enjoys doing, or like, you know, just like talk to her about things. I don't know. I don't know if she's going to be like swayed by her friend maybe doing bad things and stuff, but yeah, I don't know. I think maybe she should try and like reason with her and stuff, but yeah.
They might not take them too seriously. Like if the bad influence is always saying like, oh, do this and this and this, they kind of have to just be like, no, I can't do that. But then over time, I think the bad influence could definitely get to the well-behaved person and they could start to affect them without them realizing it. So
I definitely think it can have an effect. I mean, obviously that depends on what level of friendship they're at, but if they're quite sort of attached friends, if the badly behaved one will try to kind of bring them to that sort of negative, I definitely think it could have a negative impact for sure. If they're willing to, if the positive person is willing to be kind of deceived and kind of lied to and kind of taken to a more negative place, yeah, that could definitely have an impact for sure.
I believe they'd be scared, but because it depends how close they are with their friend. But like you said, if it's a best friend, then they wouldn't want to annoy them, so they might join in with the bad behavior, which obviously isn't good, but I reckon that's what would happen, because if you're well behaved, you also kind of go for what the crowd thinks, and usually the crowd would agree with the badly behaved person.
I think a well-behaved person would try and do like good acts or do good deeds, but I feel like they'd still get influenced by bad people and like their behavior, and they might like start doing bad behavior like the bad people do, I guess. So yeah.
Like kind of similar, like they might want to try and help, like make them not be as a bad influence, but also if they don't see any improvement, they might want to join in just because they want to make someone happier. Just like, oh, join in with a bad influence, because if they're doing it, I can. But it depends on how they are as a person.
I guess it's just like how aware they are of like what the other person doing is like wrong. They might want to like change the person or like distance themselves, I guess. Then like similar to everyone else, they might like join in.
I feel like the well-behaved person would get pretty annoyed at the misbehaved person, obviously, and would try and maybe teach them to behave normally.
I'd say it sort of depends on the character. Like they could be influenced by the bad person, kind of change how they act, or they could try and be a positive influence and sort of make the other person better.
What factors do you think can influence misbehavior in teenagers?
Definitely their environment, whether that is at home or at school or literally anywhere out on the street. What they observe is what they will likely be influenced by.
Environment, how they grow up, the people they hang around with, probably like older influences that they think like, oh, they've done it, so it's fine. It's fine if I do it. It's cool. Something.
I think the biggest one normally is like home situations and stuff, but another one can be like bad friend groups and like who you're surrounding yourself with and yeah, stuff like that. Like maybe you're hanging out with a bad crowd, but yeah.
I guess peer pressure and a lot of like being young is just like wanting to be liked and wanting to be like popular and just doing whatever you can to be like one of the popular kids and wanting to impress other people. So a lot of people, they fall into like peer pressure and things. So yeah, it can definitely make people go down the wrong path.
I think it's kind of maybe, I mean, sometimes it can be the parents are too strict, so the child feels like they have to misbehave, or the parents are not strict enough, so the kid can do whatever they want. But I think it's also like not having good people around you as friends, not having people who say, hey, you probably shouldn't do this, it'll probably get you in trouble. They are surrounded by friends that will probably just do it anyway. So I think it's surrounding yourself with good people. If you don't have family there to support you, get friends that are there to support you, sort of thing.
Two main ones, which I said, are usually home life or just depends on the people you hang out around with, which I believe are the two big factors. But I think one that's not spoken about enough is just feeling misunderstood. Sometimes if you are well behaved, but you see you're not getting rewarded for it or attention for it, you might start misbehaving to kind of get that attention. So yeah, I'd say feeling misunderstood or lonely could be a big cause of it, because no one really gets you in that aspect.
A lot of the time I think it's like peer pressure, like with their other peers. I think it could also be how they were brought up. Like I feel like if they're brought up in a bad environment, they'll most likely have worse behaviour and worse attitudes to just everyday things. And yeah, I think a lot of the time it's like their friends, how their friends act and how like life is at home for them to act like that.
Yeah, it depends on who they surround themselves with. Like, if it's good people, they'll most likely want to be more good because that's how their friends or people around them are. But like, if they're like around people that are worse or like bad influence, they might want to join in because they want to be like them or be included.
I definitely think a big part of it is their environment and like the other said, like who they hang around with, because like depending if they've known them for like ages, it can like heavily influence them.
Hanging around other people that also misbehave a lot, they might feel peer pressure to do stuff like that.
I'd say, yeah, I agree. Hanging out with bad influencers who could typically be older, so you look up to them thinking it's something impressive when really it's just not.